Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Welcome to the Get More Business podcast, and this is your host, Melody Campbell. And today I have a really smart guest, I'm going to say that, because I've been reading his blog for a while, and I'm really excited to have him on. This guy has clients that include millionaire entrepreneurs, all the way to small business owners, and even other marketing consultants call this guy. He's really fun to read on the internet. You know, I read his blog, and I think he's going to be a great guest on the show. I think you're going to be really entertained listening to him and what he has to say. And he can help you save money and stress and grief in trying to market and promote your business. So I want you to welcome with me, and I have Ben Settle. Welcome to the show, Ben. I appreciate you being on.
I'm really glad to be here, Melody. I really appreciate it.
So tell me, this statement that you made when I asked you to join me on the show is kind of bold. You can help any business attract an endless flow of new customers in 21 days or less, even in a recession. So how can you make such a bold statement?
Well, it's really not a complicated process or anything. If you just know the components of how to set up and run a decent marketing campaign, because people are, mm-hmm. even during recessions, people are buying and selling things. I mean, it's not like commerce just comes to an end. So somebody's buying something out there, and all you have to do is get in front of that, I'll call it a moving parade of customers who are buying things, so that they're buying mm-hmm. from you as opposed to everybody else.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So how do you find where this moving parade is?
Well, that's where you want to, you know, depending on where you're at in your business. If you're just starting out, for example, you're going to have to do a lot of research. You're going to have to probably run some lead generation ads. You're going to want to read the same publications that the people that you're selling to read. You want to listen to the radio shows they listen to. You know, watch the same TV shows they watch and all that. And if you know your customer well enough, that's really the easy part. You'll find out exactly how to mm-hmm. reach them. You'll know what they're already reading and what they're responding to, and you just put your ads out there and make sure they're listening to you instead of somebody else.
Right, right. So this will work both online, offline, and you know, because for me, I've had a little bit of experience knowing how to find the people online. So if you're doing like search engine optimization, you know what search terms they're looking for. That's kind of a helpful way to get in front of or in the middle of that moving parade of customers as they go by. But what about offline, just the TV, radio, magazine thing?
A lot of that comes down to you positioning yourself correctly. For example, I'm not sure who all the demographics are of the people listening to this show, but I'm just going to use as an example a web designer. If you're a web designer, okay. the best thing you can do if you want to attract offline, and this would actually work just as well online too, it all really works together, is you want to position yourself as an expert. Once you're positioned as an expert, and we can talk about ways to do this, but once you're positioned as the expert, you're the go-to person. You're the one that people are going to be looking at. They're really going to ignore all the other noise out there, and they're going to want to go for you because you're sort of the person, you're like the wise person at the top of the mountain. You know, nobody cares about the person at the bottom of the mountain. So you want to, it's mm-hmm. all about positioning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then when you're the expert, you don't necessarily have to negotiate price too much, do you?
Oh, no. In fact, I mean, this happens all the time, and not just for myself, but just other people that I know and work with. Price is really, if you're going after, that's the part of your positioning, by the way. I mean, if you're attracting price buyers, then you're going to get price buyers. But if you're attracting people who are at the higher economic scale of your market, you know, they don't really care too much. They just want the job done right. Now, I'll give you an example. If you want your car worked on, there's a problem. You know, isn't it worth it to go to the guy who really knows what he's doing, even though he may charge $500,000 more than the local lube shop down the street that's going to give you a deal? I mean, you want it done right, and most people are willing to pay for that.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a really good example. I used a local person to fix my brakes, and they gave me a 3-year warranty, and I had my brakes redone about every 4 months for 3 years. The brakes were horrible, but and I guess I should have just after the second time I should have just said I'm going to go somewhere else, but because I could get them replaced for free, I thought, well, I'm going to use this warranty. But when the warranty was over, I never went back. And I was willing to pay more to get someone else to do it just so I wouldn't have to go back every 4 months.
Well, you know, you mentioned that you never went back, and that's kind of another good point, because a lot of businesses out there, and everyone is probably guilty of this at some time or another, they're more worried about getting buyers than they are customers. And I'll make a difference between the two. A buyer may buy again, you know, you may or may not. A customer is someone who makes a custom of coming back to you over and over and over, and you can't do that unless you've positioned yourself correctly and you really have a quality product or service to begin with.
Yeah. Oh, I like the way you explain the difference where you say, you know, it makes a custom of, and it really, you know, it's a customer. They're accustomed to coming back to you. I never really thought about the words that way, so that's really good.
I'd love to take credit for that, but I can't. I learned that from a guy named Ken McCarthy, who's like an internet marketing genius, and he has this book out, and I've been reading it just over and over, and that was like one lesson I took away. I'm like my fifth reading of the book, it finally hit me. So
it makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah, and I've heard of Ken. I gotta find that book. Maybe I should read it. And the other thing I was going to ask you about is because I've been having this ongoing discussion in one of the forums that I'm in, that this formula, if you will, of understanding what your who your market is and what they're buying, doesn't work for artists. So because what they do is so creative that they just create and they put it out there, and then it's up to the customer to get the art and buy it, get what it is, the message that the artist is trying to convey and buy it. So does this work for creative businesses like somebody who's an artist?
Well, I'm going to say something, and it may or may not be true, so don't hold me to this, okay? But because I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert with that market, but there are certain fundamental customer behaviors that seem to sort of span everything. So I'm going to say this, and if somebody is an artist listening to this, I would just say consider it. I'm not saying take it to the bank, but just consider it. Certain clothes companies, when they have a new line of clothes, will pay or find people who have status and celebrity power to wear those clothes. All of a sudden, everybody wants them, and they don't know why. It's just that, Johnny movie star is wearing it or buying it, so it must be cool. And it's all subjective in the art world, I assume. There are people who can tell the difference between, what's good and what's not. But I'm just saying, in general, a lot of art is subjective. I may think something's really great, and you may think it's like, what's the big deal? But if you see if other people of status and authority and people you look up to, celebrity-type people, your favorite politician, your favorite sports star is buying that artwork and filling their house with it, you're more likely to sell it to the people who follow that particular person.
Yeah. And that reminds me of, what's his name, the book, The Power of Influence? You probably know who I'm talking about.
Cialdini.
That's probably one of his rules in that book about how
social
people
proof.
Tend to follow. Huh?
It's called social proof.
Yeah. That's exactly it. So that's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought that up. So I'm gonna pass that on into that forum because I was trying to convey it to them. There still is a trend, certain types of artwork. Like in the 80s, trying to think of the artist that was really popular. He painted all these dolphin scenes, that depicted Hawaii and dolphins, and it was really colorful, lots of pinks and oranges, and he got really, really popular, but I don't think that would sell as well now, and it really wasn't about the art, it was about what everybody was buying, because they were buying it. Okay, now I'm looking at your little list here that I actually have up on the blog as well. You mentioned on here you can tell us how to double the size of our customer base without using any of our own money, time, or resources. How's that possible?
Okay, well, I'm going to try to come up with an example that makes it more real than just saying what I'm trying to say. I'll give you an example. I'm most of my work is as a direct response copywriter. That's what I normally do. So normally I would write an ad for somebody, and they would pay me, and then they would sell the product with the ad, and I'd never get paid again. And what I'm going to say will apply to anything. I mean, you can apply it to anything, but I'm just using myself as an example. I sometimes team up with other marketers. They don't pay me a dime, okay, but they own the product, and they're selling it. I write the ad for free, and I don't do this very often anymore. I'm just using this as an example. And they'll sell it. They didn't have to pay me anything until it sold. So they would pay me on the sales. And to add to it, these people will often find other people's customers to sell the product to using the ad that I wrote. So now there's three of us in there. None of us have really spent any money, and we're just doing what's called a joint venture. We're all leveraging off each other's strength. And, you know, there are many, many ways to do this, but the idea is to find someone who has customers already that you could sell to, make a deal with them to sell your product to their list of customers, and, you know, pay them 50% or work out a deal. Now you haven't spent a dime, and they haven't really spent a dime, other than if you're doing direct mail or something. Everybody wins, and everyone comes out ahead. And you can easily add a lot of names to your customer list doing that.
Yeah, I can even think of different offline businesses who could use that same technique. You know, if you're a realtor, you could team up with a mortgage broker, vice versa. Or, you know, there's a whole team of people that are often involved in certain transactions. Or like if you're having someone come in and lay carpet, you might also need tile done or rooms painted. And those types of businesses could market to each other's customers. So that's really good. When I read that, I didn't even think of that. So that's a really great tool to team up with other like businesses or a similar customer base.
Oh, absolutely.
How about this almost magic way to attract hundreds, even thousands of potential new clients or customers for as little as 5 cents?
Okay, this is one of my favorite ways of marketing. And right now you and I are talking, right, and we're having a conversation. I'm not trying to sell anything to anybody listening to this call right now. We're just having a conversation. I'm sharing some things I've learned, and hopefully it'll be of value to people, and they can walk away with some good information, and everybody's happy. But during this call, I didn't have to pay you anything, and you're basically giving me however long this call is going to be, 30 minutes, whatever, of airtime. I mean, I'm demonstrating my knowledge just as a good ad will, and it's not costing anything. Now, I say 5 cents because that's what it costs to fax a press release to the media, which is essentially the exact same thing. You can get in the media. They will interview you just like you're interviewing me about what you do, and if you do it right, you're basically cutting around all the natural skepticism and sometimes hostility people have toward advertising and somebody trying to sell them something. All of a sudden, we go back to the expert thing. You're an expert automatically once you get in the media like that. And all it costs is literally a 5 cent fax. In fact, if it's local, it doesn't cost you anything. You just fax the press release right to the local media.
Yeah. And with all the press release, or places to submit press releases online, probably even less than that, I don't know how often they get read, but it's still up there, and you can get links back to your site. And so, that's a really good idea, very good idea.
I will say this, though. Okay. I personally don't do a lot of online stuff because the real power in the media, I mean, unless you're just going for search engine results, then, that's the way to go. But if you want to, like, set yourself up as an expert, get yourself in a real newspaper, a real radio show, a real TV news program. You have a copy of that, whether it be a sound file, a video, or just the clippings. You show that to your customers, and all of a sudden, you're the expert, no matter what. I don't care if you just started your business yesterday. You were in USA Today. You know, you're the expert. So I think that's kind of important.
Yeah, that's exactly true. In fact, I used to have a promotional products business, and I wrote I didn't even expect to get covered. I don't even know what I thought I was doing. It was years ago, when early in my years in business, and I sent an email to a local newspaper about casual Fridays and how people could have their name embroidered on whatever casual shirt so it would make it a little more business friendly but still casual. And I was on the front of the business section the next week.
There you go.
Suddenly I was an expert all over town. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Let's go down your list here. I'm gonna try to get some kind of an explanation on all of these, because even, you know, a lot of this stuff I'm like, oh, he's probably talking about this, but somehow I was like, wow, gosh, I'm even impressed. That's good copy.
It's a kind of important distinction, because I sent you a press release, and this is what I want the reporter to think. And if you do it right like that, they have to call you. They have to interview, because they got to know the answers.
Some of them, I'm, you know, like the first two, I was like, come on, really? As little as 5 cents? But it kind of takes you off guard. When you explain it, it was like, well, of course. Yeah, that makes sense. But before knowing what the explanation was, I was like, you've got to be kidding. No, that's not possible. But
well, you should have,
it is. You just have such a good way of putting it.
You should see this dog press release I put out last summer. It was, and I'm like, don't ever let your dog chew on a tennis ball. And, like, every reporter that owned a dog just had to call me. I mean, they'd leave messages on the machine. I got to know what this is, so give me a call back. It was great.
Well, in those that are listening to the show, in case they haven't already figured this out, this is what Ben does for a living, is he is a copywriter. And in a few minutes, well, in fact, I could just do it right now. I'm gonna say what your, well, it's just bensettle.com, and that's where your blog is, right? And so, and there's so many resources right on your website on writing copy and, you know, understanding how copywriting is done. I think it's a wealth of information.
Well,
so just bensettle.com, and you can read. And I think every small business owner should know a little bit about how to do that instead of turning it over to someone else, because what I find is a lot of people that are in business is they either market like they're being marketed to. They make this interpretation of, oh, this is how these companies market to me, so I'm going to do the same thing. Or they copy what all these other business people are doing, not ever checking to see if those other business people are successful at what they're doing, so they just copy it. And then they wonder why they – I remember reading something on a forum that the guy said, I know I can market, but nothing's working. Well, I asked him, what makes you think you can market? What have you done to study what you're trying to do? So anyways, let me go down this list. Why they should never advertise their products or services and what they should advertise instead. Tell me about that.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Right now, and especially this time in history, and I'm sure it'll only get – more so as time goes on, as more people enter the marketplace and business. I mean, we are just bombarded. I mean, it's just like acid rain, you know, with people trying to persuade us to do things, you know, advertisements, salesmen, you name it. You know, I think it's something like 3,000 or 5,000 ads a day the average person sees. So if you try to advertise your product or service just out there, you know, and there are certain circumstances where this won't apply, but for the most part, there's a very good chance you're going to get ignored because it's just more advertising. Mm-hmm. So my contention is, and I didn't invent this or anything, it's just a lot of people do it, you want to advertise some what people might call a lead generation. It could be a report, it could be an audio CD. I mean, I could get the recording of this call right here, and instead of advertising my copywriting or press release services or whatever, I could say, you know, call this number or go to this website and get this free CD that'll show you how to market your business. All of a sudden, I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm actually giving something first. And I'm giving something that's good quality, hopefully, and that people can use. And it demonstrates my knowledge. And, again, it positions me as an expert. So my contention is don't advertise your product necessarily unless you're the first person in a market. And if you're the first person out there or the only one selling what you sell, you can probably get away with it. But most people, I mean, they're just numb to advertising. So you want to give some value away first, and then that becomes your advertising.
And I think consumers, because of that oversaturation of advertising, they're looking to be informed first, because they want to make sure they're making a good judgment, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If they're informed on, like, the proper chemicals to use on their dog for fleas, they're bombarded with, you know, maybe the television ads and magazine and their vet and all this. They might want to be informed first before they choose a product. So by, like you said, giving away a CD or a free report, download something, they can feel like they're informed. And then going back to what you said earlier, they're seeing you identified as the expert, then they're more likely to spend money with you.
That's exactly it. And if you see an ad for, let's say, a plumber, call my plumbing services next time you need help. Okay, that might be nice if you get someone at that exact time when they have a problem. But what if you say, you know, here's a free report I'd like to give you. Call this number. It'll show you how the 10 most common plumbing problems and how you can fix them with just a screwdriver or something. I'm just making that up. I mean, you're going to get the report, and when you need a plumber, who are you going to call? I mean, there's just no choice. You're going to call the guy who educated you and informed you first.
Yeah, it's probably going to stick in the mind a lot, you know, a lot longer than just call this guy next time you have a problem. And in fact, some businesses, their names are all so close the same. And
yeah.
Plumbing is a good example. They all sound like I had somebody come out to my house one time, and then a year later I needed the same problem fixed again and couldn't figure out what the name of the company was because they all sounded the same. So it's, yeah, it makes sense to market a little bit differently than just, hey, call me when you need me. Okay, how about, I'm going to skip one of them because I just really got to know this one. How to find dozens of new leads, clients, customers in an ordinary coffee shop. This bizarre technique works for almost any business, product, or service. Now, I love coffee. In fact, I'd rather have coffee at a coffee shop than at home just because I love the ambiance of a coffee shop. So how could I find more business there?
Well, it's a little thing that a lot of people have heard of, but very few people do it. And I admit, right now I'm not engaged in one of these, but I probably should be. And if I really needed clients like bad, especially if I was marketing to a local area, especially. In fact, this really only goes for if you're marketing to a local area. But you might want to think about setting up what's called a breakfast club. And what that is, basically, is you get yourself and maybe 5 or 10 or however many you can get, other local businesses in the area. None of them can be the same, though. You can only have one of each business to make this work. So you have the web designer, you have the lawyer, you have the mechanic, whatever. Every week you meet at the coffee shop, or it could be a cafe. It can be anywhere, but everyone seems to like coffee shops. And you get together, and you don't sell each other anything. You just exchange leads with each other. So if you know, Joe the mechanic is at the table, and you know, Mary the web designer's there, and Mary the web designer says, you know, I got this friend who's got a problem with this car. He doesn't know where to go to. He's going to give that friend's name to the mechanic, and vice versa. You know, the mechanic may know someone who needs web design. So you just start exchanging leads like that, and you don't hold back, and no one can sell to each other because then it'll just turn into a commercial, you know, mess probably. But
yeah. Yeah.
You just exchange leads, and you just have fun, and you maybe meet for an hour or two. And then, you know, this is especially good for, like, insurance salesmen or real estate people because it's so hard sometimes for them to market locally if they're not up to speed on direct marketing. This is a really good way to shortcut the whole process.
Yeah, and if the businesses are synergistic enough, you know, they're, like, all home service of some type, it can kind of – be also along the lines of how to double size of your customer base because you're joint venturing. That could create some or open the opportunity for some great joint venture projects if the businesses were similar enough. So that's a really great idea.
Oh, and that is a perfect thing. Yes.
And I've actually, you know, I've done most of this stuff and not heard it described so creatively, but it really is a good idea. And I had not actually thought of joint venturing until we put this all in the same conversation. Okay, how about 3 little-known ways to use their telephone to attract hundreds of new customers without doing any telemarketing or cold calling?
Well, as we all know, telemarketing and cold calling is either illegal nowadays or it's just not the funnest job in the world to do. But the phone can be your best friend, and I'm going to give you 3 examples. The first one I'm just going to say, this is for people who maybe don't answer their own phone when people call in or whatever. Answer the phone, and whenever somebody buys something, try to upsell them on something. You know, and this is so easy. It's McDonald's will do it all the time. Do you want fries with that? How hard is it when someone, you know what I mean? And if someone buys something from you or they're even inquiring, you have a perfect opportunity to just say, look, we have a 50% off deal on whatever it is you sell right now for the next 24 hours. You know, come on in and take advantage of it. if they're in need of that service and you positioned yourself as an expert, I mean, it's just a no-brainer. They're going to come in, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the first thing, upselling. I mean, I'll even say this. A lot of people don't like watching infomercials. I would say if you want to know really how to do this, find a long-running infomercial, and it can be any, if you've seen it run like for weeks and months, call the number, buy something, and just record the call and just study how they upsell you. It's just brilliant. They'll have you buying just about everything, they can, and they won't stop until you say no. They'll just keep adding things on until you stop buying. So, one time $10 sale can turn into a $100 sale really quick.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've had that happen. Not exactly, in those dollar amounts, but absolutely. If you since you're buying one, you might as well buy two, because then you can save on the shipping. And okay, I'll buy another one. And then we have an applicator for it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay, stop. Yeah, that is a great idea. And you're right, it works with almost any kind of business. I probably would have to sit and think I'd have to think harder if there was a business who couldn't do that. So you said three. So that was two, right?
No, that was one. I got two more.
That was one. It was upselling. Didn't you say a second one? Okay, go ahead.
The second one would be sort of what we're doing now almost. I guess you could consider this a teleseminar to an extent. A teleseminar is when you get a whole bunch of people on the phone listening to you teach them about something. And this can apply to any business. And it's one of these things that's so easy to do now because, like, for example, we're using TalkShoe right now. I mean, anybody can use these services. There's a whole bunch of them out there. I just mentioned TalkShoe because it's in my mind. I mean, there's freeconferencecalling.com. There's thebasementventures.com. I mean, just type in free teleseminar services, and you'll come up with many of them. Or get a paid one, which is just as good. Usually they have more features. But point is, you can invite all your customers or a segment of your customer list to call in and listen to you give maybe a teaching or a lesson or some kind of seminar over the phone where you're solving a problem that they're having. And obviously you don't want to just sell the whole time. You want to give lots of good information out. But at the end, make an offer, for whatever it is you sell, and you will get people buying almost all the time. It's just a great way to sell using teleseminars.
Yeah, it is. It's a great way to inform, then they trust you as an expert, and then they buy from you. Okay, what's number three?
The third one is very simple. You could call your phone company for this, or, there's just voicemail services. And this kind of ties in with what we talked about before, where you don't necessarily want to sell your product or service outright. You kind of want to sell a lead generation thing. Well, you can record a message, maybe a weekly message about whatever it is you do, solving a problem or giving a tip every week, and you point your advertising toward that. Or if you're using media publicity, this works even better. At the end, you'd say, I have this hotline. Every day I update it with a new tip or something. So you maybe give a minute or two-minute tip on a recorded message, and at the end just make some kind of call to action. If you're I'll just use bankruptcy lawyer, for example. If you're a bankruptcy lawyer, you can give good tips on what to do if you're filing bankruptcy, and at the end you say, if you need help with it, give me a call. Well, you've set yourself up as an expert. You've given out some really good information, so you've demonstrated your knowledge. If they're having that particular problem, there's a good chance they're going to call you.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. This is really good. I never even thought of those things when I read this copy. So your copywriting has a bit of a mystery to it. It begs for more information.
Okay,
and you're good at it. So
this
is really good. So I can't wait to discover what else you've got for me in here. So a secret way to profit from ads that lose money.
It's sad that this is a secret, but it's really just common sense, and this goes back to, again, a lead generation thing. But the whole point of generating a lead is not necessarily to sell them anything. I mean, it's great if you do, but as you build a mailing list, whether it be email or snail mail, whatever, even if that ad lost money that you ran to get those names, you can now send them other offers forever. I mean, that you have that name and address forever. You can profit from them over and over and over and over the years. I mean, just because that one ad lost money, and most a lot of marketing companies will lose money on the upfront because they know they can get you on something else later. So it, the whole idea is to build a list, you know, and keep mailing to it and demonstrate your knowledge of that list and set yourself up as the expert to that list. And, you know, if you have a quality product or service, they're going to refer other people to you, and that didn't cost you anything either. So it's just a great way. Building that list is the foundation of everything. So.
Yeah, and that works both online and offline because, you know, offline is direct mail, right? And then online it's email.
I mean, you could go both or either. I mean, it's probably better to have both, actually. You have a more solid list that way.
Okay. So now how about this last one? I can't figure out. Okay, how almost any business can create instant cash flow without raising the prices, finding new customers, or getting a loan?
This particular thing, anybody can do it, and you probably don't even need much help doing it, if any. And that is, you take your customer base, and this is assuming you've been building a list and everything, or you take your clients that you normally have. Obviously, this depends on what kind of business you're doing, but either way. Well, which ones haven't really shown up or bought from you for like the last 90 days or a year? Well, those are inactive customers' clients, but they've already trusted you enough to buy from you once. Why not send them a letter or an email trying to reactivate them and just say, look, come on in and we'll give you, you know, some huge discount or just some irresistible offer that they can't refuse? You've just reactivated them. You didn't have to spend any money to get those names. You didn't have to advertise for them. Sure, if you're doing direct mail, you had to mail them something, but either way, it'll pay for itself if you do it right. I've seen cases where as many as 30-40% of their inactive customers will just come on back and spend some more money just like that. I mean, they just needed to be talked to. They needed a reason to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. I talk to small business owners all the time, and I ask them what they're doing to – you know, to sell products to their easiest, easiest way of selling products. Are they going back to their former customers? And they're like, no, I'm still trying to get new customers. I want more customers. I'm like,
right.
You're leaving money on the table.
Yeah, I mean, your best customer.
Yeah, well, that's great.
You're better off having 400 buyers than, you know, 400,000 just prospects. You know, people who buy are infinitely more valuable than a new person who may or may not come back.
Yeah. This is really, really good. Well, I wanted to say, because we're right at the end of our time, we normally go about a half an hour with this show, and everybody who listens to my show knows that I almost always go over it just a little bit because I love to give all this great information. So, but I want to invite everybody listening to do two things. One, I really would like you to go out and visit bensettle.com. If you're even remotely interested in learning more information along these lines, you're going to learn how to write copy. You're going to learn how, you know, different these ideas, like reading all of this stuff that you sent over on this press release, I would have never guessed the very simple techniques, strategies, whatever that you would have said in this call, and they're all fabulous. They're maybe even something that you've all heard before, but probably there's a really good chance that there's a portion of you that are not doing them all, and it's a great reminder. So you're going to learn a lot at bensettle.com. The next thing is Ben Settle has a report that I'm going to grab this here. Let's see, where is it here? This is the report that 21 Days to Unlimited New Business, and it's actually a collection of 7 different reports, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now you're actually going to get this directly from Ben, but I'm going to have everybody that's not already on my list. If you're on my list, I'm going to send you the link to grab this from Ben's site. If you're not on my list, you need to go to thesmallbusinessguru.com and sign up for my list, and you'll get my report as well as Ben's report, or the link to get his report and download it. So does that sound okay with you, Ben?
That sounds like brilliant marketing to me, and I'm very happy to be a part of it. You're capturing the names. Huh?
Well, good. Yeah, because I have more great stuff to share with my audience, and I know I have quite a few listeners that I'm just definitely sure they're not on my list, because the more I have many more listeners than I have people on my list. So, anyways, I want to thank everyone for listening, and I very much want to thank you, Ben, for taking time out of your schedule to do this with me, and I would love to do it again. We'll have to concoct some other great piece of information, and let's do this again. It's been fun talking with you.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a lot of fun.